Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
You are now listening to the Philly Pod,
a Philadelphia sports podcast.
I know it's been a little bit since you've heard this trio of voices on this show, but it was time. It was time because, believe it or not, the Eagles are playoff bound, potentially division bound.
In the hunt.
You never know these days. Thank you guys
Stranger
for tuning
things
in.
Have happened.
I know. 9-6-1. We've all been there. 2008, Deshaun's rookie year. Stephen, how old were you for that?
Deshaun's rookie year, I can't remember my age. I would have been in like fourth grade or fifth grade.
You were like nine. Jesus, the Gen Z
kids.
Yeah, I was 10.
Damn. Lord, I'm getting old. Turn 28 next week. Can't believe it. Appreciate you guys for tuning in to this new episode of the Philly Pod. I know it's been a little bit, but we're back to recap everything that has happened. I think the last episode, I think Steve and I came on here and talked about the Ertz trade. Was it the Ertz trade? It was a while ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it might have been a little minute, but we're back now to break down everything that's been going on. If you're new, thank you guys for tuning in. If you are back and have been a faithful follower and wondering where we are, we do appreciate you guys for coming and tuning into the show. Be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Odyssey, anywhere else you get your shows. Be sure to leave those reviews, rate 5 stars. As you guys know by now, all those ratings do bring new eyes and ears to the show, so be sure to do that for us. Tell a friend, tell your parents, tell anybody that's an Eagles fan that wants to relate to our pain and lately our joy, as the Eagles, after starting 2-5, have now won 3 of their last 4 games, currently sitting at 5-6, and as Steven said, on the bubble, in the hunt for a playoff spot. Before we dive too deep into everything that's going on, be sure to go ahead and download the Parx Sportsbook app. Sign up with promo code Liberty Line to get a risk-free bet up to $500. The bet of the week, the hot one, has been the Eagles at plus 800 odds to win the division. Ooh. I threw a few bucks on it myself. I'm sure Jordan's degenerate self has already done so.
Definitely.
So be sure to go ahead, help out Liberty Line, deposit $25, get your first bet risk-free up to $500 for our partners over at Parx Sportsbook and Casino. Can't thank them enough. Steven, I guess before we get into analytics and stats and breaking down everything, just a general feeling about the team as of right now. It started somber. We didn't know what Sirianni was doing. And then you start talking about these flowers, these roots. And here we are now sitting at 5-6, and the season ain't over. And Jalen Hurts has looked comfortable, and he's developing at his own pace. How do you feel about the team in its current state?
So I had written an article yesterday, kind of just, I think the title was like a roll call on the Jalen Hurts haters. And in that article, I mentioned towards the end, like, what is there to complain about? And that's my takeaway right now is, as we all know, this season was viewed as a rebuilding year, rookie head coach. This is essentially, I mean, it's really Jalen Hurts's, not his rookie year, but he only started like 4 or 5 games last year. So this was like his first true assessment. And now all of a sudden, like even me, somebody who's generally more optimistic, I think I had this team winning 10 games, which all of a sudden now could be true. You know, they were 2-5. It wasn't looking like that was going to be the case. But now all of a sudden they're in the playoff hunt. And as Vic mentioned, I mean, they're certainly, hey, there's a chance they could somehow win this division. And, you know, obviously when you have, you know, looking long term, when you have 3 first-round picks potentially in this upcoming draft, you kind of would like those draft positions to be higher. But at this point, I don't care, man. Let's just get into the playoffs. This team is too much fun. Now that we have fans back in attendance, obviously we were all at the tailgate. Jordan was at the game. Look, I'm sorry, guys. I wasn't trying to spend that much money to sit at the top row.
You were a part of that decision. Yeah, it was such a good game to go to too.
Yeah, it looked amazing, and I get it though. Like at the when you buy those tickets at like the top of the top level, it does probably get a little chilly up.
That's what I mean.
So I get it. I get it. I understand. But yeah, Jalen Hurts coming into his own. The Eagles, as it currently stands, have a 38% chance of making the playoffs. If they do secure wins against the Giants and the Jets, both those games in the Meadowlands, those odds jump up to 60%. And a little later on, we'll go through all the scenarios and how they can effectively win the NFC East if it does come down to that. But Jalen Hurts, 55-plus rushing yards in the last five games, has thrown just one interception in his last 131 pass attempts. I think he leads the league in QBR over the last 5 weeks. I know that's an ESPN-generated stat and probably one of the most useless ones next to QB wins, but it is up there for those guys, that those nerds that like that kind of stuff. Jordan, we know that you are an avid Gardner Minshew fan. Not for him to be the starter, we all know, but we know that he's an avid fan. And a couple of weeks ago, it was the rumblings were starting. Like, how long is it going to be before we see some Gardner Minshew? How happy are you that Jalen Hurts has kind of controlled the season now, and it looks like that he may be afforded another season following 2021?
Yeah, no, I'm beyond ecstatic. What I said, and Steven kind of already hinted at this, my thoughts going into this was like, all right, this is Jalen Hurts' first season coming out being our starter, brand new head coach, a lot of brand new faces in the coaching staff altogether. So all I wanted to see, I wasn't expecting anything early on, and I just wanted to see some hints that we were moving into a better direction. I wanted to see growth week after week. So yes, I am guilty. A couple weeks ago, I was leaning on the fence of, is it time to put Gardner Minshew in? Just because I wasn't seeing growth. I wasn't seeing movement. I was getting very frustrated. But now every single week, literally since Nick Sirianni talked about flowers, we're 3-1. Mm-hmm. Like every week, I just see us getting, better and better. And I see them starting to realize what works and what isn't and starting to stick with those trends as well. So I love the direction we're moving in. And this is all I wanted for this season. And then, hey, if we can make the playoffs, there's nothing more I'd ask for from that.
Right. As we've all said, even prior to the season, this season was never about, a playoff run and all this. It was about properly assessing Jalen Hurts, seeing growth, seeing progression, and making a definitive decision. If you can make one after one season as a starter, I don't even think you can do that. But if the Eagles were able to come to a decisive decision after this season on what to do at the quarterback position with all the draft assets that are now falling because the Colts and Dolphins decided they want to win the last few weeks. But that was always the goal. And now we're seeing progression, obviously, since the day Miles Sanders went down that Detroit game. And now he was added back to the mix on Sunday with fumbles and all. And we'll touch on that in a minute. But the Eagles are now second in the NFL in rushing offense behind Cleveland, 153.4 yards per game. Just over 217 yards per game over the last 4 weeks. So this method, albeit we don't know if it's sustainable, how long this kind of formula is going to work, because you do have to play better teams at some point, even though the Saints were the number one rush defense and they ran all over them. But he's making Jalen Hurts comfortable. He's allowing him to develop at his own pace. Over the first 7 weeks, I think Jalen was throwing 35 times a game. He has cut that all the way down to just under 20. So Jalen Hurts isn't asked to come out of his comfort zone. We all know he has some growth, some progressing to do as a passer. But, man, as a runner, he's surely making defenses pay. Steven, how sustainable do you think an offense like this is going to be, especially if a playoff berth is in the future? Is this kind of offense sustainable for Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts?
Long-term, passing under 20 times, no way. But, like, for me, this game, you had just mentioned the Saints had, what, the second-best rush defense
in the
NFL?
First-best season and this time, and week 14 last year when they beat them. They had the number one rush defense both times, and the Eagles ran 200-plus yards on them each time, which is wild.
I think it's safe to say we have finally found our identity, and I mean not just this season with this team, but the last couple years. It felt like even with Carson Wentz at the helm, we didn't really know what this offense ever was. They were constantly changing the type of receivers, the personnel, all this stuff. Jalen Hurts is a playmaker, man. He's much more of a Lamar Jackson type than, you know, if you want to compare him to these other, you know, big arm quarterbacks, pocket passers, whatever that is. He still needs to grow in that department. But for me, this guy's going to be a playmaker as long as he's the quarterback here in Philly. And it's always been about the intangibles for me. Like, this guy's just a winner. He's been a winner wherever he's been. Dude, like, I want to suit up for this guy. Like, Jalen Hurts has me so motivated. I don't know about you guys. Like, I personally, I love this dude,
man. No, I agree.
Like,
yeah.
And, you know, as somebody who was literally, like, heartbroken with the Carson Wentz departure and how that went down, like, fast forward, I don't know how many months it's been since that point. Like, I don't know about you guys, but, like, I feel reborn. Like, this is awesome. Like, I'm fully behind Jalen Hurts now. I always liked him, don't get me wrong. It's just the decision to draft him still to this day is kind of interesting, but I don't know, man. I really like the guy. It's fun. Like, Eagles football is fun again, and I didn't think I'd be saying this just, like, even a half a year after that Carson Wentz trade.
Yeah, well, for the first time since Atlanta, it's been Eagles football has been fun again. And Jalen Hurts, like you mentioned, Steven, the tangibles are starting to catch up to the intangibles now. We all know about his leadership and things like that. And I think you hit it on the head with playmaker. I think that's a good title for him. And I know people are stuck on, we need a QB, you know, he can't run all the time, and we don't need another running back and this and that. But playmaking is what this team needs right now, especially as young as everybody is. When you have Devontae and you have Miles still here for however long, people are starting to speculate on if he's in the plans for the Eagles. But another bright spot has been Devontae Smith over these last 3 weeks. 13 catches, 243 yards, three touchdowns, over the last 3 weeks. It looks like that Alabama chemistry is starting to translate to the NFL. Jordan, how excited are you that Devontae Smith is finally starting to be utilized? And it looks like that, as of right now, he's right behind Ja'Marr Chase as far as rookie receivers are concerned. But a lot of coaches, when you ask around, are saying that Devontae was far and away the best guy in that draft. How excited are you for the relationship of Jalen Hurts and Devontae Smith for this season, and if they, you know, continue to grow moving forward?
Oh, this goes back to what I was saying earlier. It makes me so excited because I just want to clarify, during draft time, I kept saying that Devontae Smith was going to be the best receiver out of the three top ones to come out of this draft. And everyone told me I was crazy. And I was like, you know what? I'm honestly fine with the Eagles trading back at this point.
Steven and I are heavy Ja'Marr guys. Heavy.
Really?
Heavy. Oh, I would have sold my soul for Ja'Marr Chase.
Ja'Marr Chase is incredible. And like, we see everything he's doing. But one, I just see the relationship between Jalen and Devontae getting better and better. And you see Jalen getting more accurate. And this goes back to a couple weeks ago when Jalen totally threw Devontae Smith in the end zone. And then we heard later that Devontae Smith went up to him and was like, here's what we should do, or here's what you should do. So it's just, and like, I know people made fun of that. But at the end of the day, if they can build that relationship and they keep getting stronger as a duo, that's just going to make our team and our offense stronger. So I love everything I'm seeing from the both of them. And like Steven was saying, it's exciting to watch this team again. And I'm falling in love with our players. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I actually have something strong to root and stable, getting more stable to root for. So love everything I'm seeing.
Where are we currently at with Nick Sirianni? Because he started rough. Now he's it looks like the play calling, I believe, I saw a stat not too long ago that I think his first five carries only went for 7 yards. And if this was the first couple weeks of the season, he might have been resignated to throw for the rest of the game. And obviously he stuck to the script and the game plan and continued to run all over that defense. Where are we kind of at with Nick Sirianni and his growth and his progression? Are we kind of settling down on him, like we're going to let this man coach? Or are we still not kind of sure if he can lead a team and continue to coach this team the way Jalen Hurts needs him to?
I think what's confusing to me is right now I was kind of on the fence about Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts. And then now, I don't know what it is, but I feel so confident in Jalen Hurts. Like, he has my full respect and attention, but I'm not 100% there with Sirianni yet. And I don't know what it is because I like everything he's been doing.
That's what it is.
Yeah. I don't know why it's taking me longer to get 100% on board with Sirianni. Like, I could get on board with Jalen, but I think right now we just let him coach and see how the rest of the season plays out. I really don't want us to make any drastic moves for next season yet, unless, God forbid, he just totally blows the rest of the season. But I think with everything we're seeing now, he feels more comfortable and he's learning from his past mistakes. So I think we just let him do his thing for right now.
When people mention Nick Sirianni, they always think back to the prior games of having, you know, Jalen Hurts throw 40 plus times a game, and at least we're not seeing Jalen, like I mentioned prior, having to sit out of his comfort zone. So it's good that he's utilizing his young quarterback. You know, first year starter, people forget you need to look at this guy through a lens as if you would other rookie quarterbacks. And I always think about, like, especially after last night, like, Giants fans sat through however many years of Daniel Jones, like, and people are saying, oh, Jalen gets 1 year and that's the end of that. So if we can, you know, if they're going to continue to be patient with him, and we know how high Roseman likes quarterbacks, he was out the scouting looking at Sam Howell and I think Kenny Pickett at the time. But I like the direction, because like you mentioned, Jordan, there was a point in time where we were wondering if this marriage was going to work between Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni, and are they right for each other? It's not that one or the other is bad. It's can they mix? So we don't really know how that's going to be moving forward. But good signs up to this point. Two extensions, obviously, to talk about. Dallas Goedert, 4 years, $59 million, $35.7 million guaranteed. Avante Maddox, he got a three-year contract extension not soon after that, $22.5 million, $13.3 million. Steven, some people were saying that we paid him too soon. He's not worth George Kittle money. He's not worth Travis Kelce money. I'm under the impression that the Eagles didn't pay him for production so far up to this career. They paid him for his projections and his potential of what he will be in the future. Are you all right with the contract Dallas Goedert received, or do you think we paid him too much too soon?
I'm A-okay with it, man. Like, I honestly think Dallas, like you're saying, we're paying him on potential projections and stuff like that. And it's hard to really assess any of the guys and, like, the receivers. Obviously, for Goddard's case, he's a tight end because this offense has been so run dominant. Hurts isn't even passing the ball 20 times a game. But, you know, when Goddard gets the ball, good things happen. And the thing with him is he's so dominant in the run game because he's a great blocker. And that's kind of like I mentioned earlier, this is the Eagles' DNA now is going to be running the football, you know, whether it's Miles, it's one of the other backs, it's Jalen. I mean, this is kind of why they moved on from Ertz. They're making Goddard the guy, and I think he can absolutely do that. I think he, look, Devontae, even in his rookie year, is a great player, but I think Goddard is our best weapon on offense, if that makes sense, just because of how versatile and big he is. And, you know, you look at a lot of the guys in the offense, it's a lot of these kind of like speedy type of guys. Goddard's the one, I guess you could really look at this team. Do you want to say J-Jaw? I mean, he had that big play there.
But, he saved the season. He literally saved the season. I've been trying to tell people not to sleep on this man. I didn't know when it was going to happen. He literally saved the season. And we'll touch on a guy that you're going to have to defend in a little bit when you mentioned speed guys. But Dallas Goedert, he's that security blanket over the middle.
Physical presence.
We don't have that anymore since Alshon was gone. Actually, we didn't have that the last few years Alshon was even here. So it's good for them to lock him up. I was saying that Dallas Goedert was going to be number one priority in the offseason, and Avante Maddox should be right behind him as far as paying him. And it's good to see those guys get paid ahead of time so we don't have to worry about it in the offseason. A guy that some people were worried about for whatever reason when we signed him was Darius Slay. And they didn't know if he was washed. He's getting old and all this and that. I know he turns 31 in January. He's not a good corner. He got abused by DK and Devontae Adams last year. As if any corner, name me a corner who didn't, that's not named Jalen.
You know,
Ramsey.
He was the highest graded player this past weekend.
Was it Darius?
Darius Slay was.
I thought it was either going to be on the team or in the NFL.
I think the entire NFL.
Dang, how about it? He's certainly playing his
way. It might have been the Eagles, though. I have to double check. Yeah, I just saw it.
There were some good players last
week. Either way.
But he's certainly playing his way into the Defensive Player of the Year conversation. I believe he's first in defensive touchdowns with three now after his pick six. He's only allowing 31 receiving yards per game. QBs have a passer rating of 76.8 when targeting his side of the field, which is why Steven Nelson gets targeted a ton. But I think he's played fairly well. It'll be interesting to see what the Eagles do with him moving forward. Jordan, we always knew it was blasphemous the way people would talk about Darius Slay, and they would call him moderate play Slay and all these other things. Do you think Darius Slay is warranted in the Defensive Player of the Year conversation? You obviously think of Trayvon Diggs and TJ Watt, and even though Diggs gets beat a lot, he does create a lot of turnovers. Is he a dark horse in that conversation to be the possible Defensive Player of the Year?
Definitely. And if he keeps up the way he has been playing these last couple weeks, I think he solidifies that position and he deserves to be in the conversations now as is. Like, let's put in perspective, he has more touchdowns than any Giants wide receiver. Mm-hmm. It's and that's not saying much considering it's the Giants who can't
Daniel
do anything
Dimes is over there. That's why.
Yeah, but still the fact that we can say our cornerback, like, it's just really impressive everything he's doing, and I think he's really coming into his own. And it kind of reminds me, it's like he always had these bright moments, but he never had the consistency, and there was a lot of things mm-hmm. he was missing. And now it's like he's just it's like he feels so comfortable and he's just becoming such a strong presence, and the consistency is there and the intensity is there. So I think he has to be in these conversations. It's rude for him not to be.
Yeah, it would be very rude not to include there, especially with the production he's provided. I think it's been two
exactly.
fumble recovery touchdowns, a pick six, all that stuff. I know people last year were like, he's not creating turnovers and this and that. But in Jim Schwartz's defense, in my humble opinion, I think it's difficult to create turnovers when your back is always to the quarterback. Like, that's the way Jim Schwartz had these guys playing. So Jonathan Gannon has he another one that had a rough start, and his defense seems to be rounding into form. He's using more blitzes. He had Avante Maddox rush Trevor Siemian at one point. So I'd like to see him mixing things up as well.
See, he's the one I have question marks about. Like, Gannon, I don't understand.
Yeah. I'm more worried about Gannon than Sirianni, to be honest.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm so much more worried about Gannon than Sirianni. A couple weeks ago, I was ready to ban Gannon from the city. Like, I didn't even want him to finish out the season. And now he's starting to slowly get it together, but I'm just not sold.
I remember at one point in the offseason during an interview, and I was like, dude, this guy's going to be swallowed up. Like, he's going to have a head coach, and he's going to be a head coach in 2 years. And obviously that was premature because he was having a hard time coaching a defense. So, yeah, that was pretty premature. But the defense is holding its own for now. I like that they're able to keep Jalen Hurts and the offense in games, even though, you know, except for the Chargers game, I still believe that if Jalen Hurts had a shot to win that game, then he would have. I think they scored with 6:03 left, and Justin Herbert and company drove down the field and they didn't get the ball back. So that's unfortunate to see, but that might have been the one loss in the last four games for the Eagles. Things are starting to look up for the team as they look maybe potentially look towards a playoff run. One guy on offense that people are kind of over of at this point is one Jalen Reagor, obviously first round pick. Last season, he's watching Devontae do everything, and I know it's he had the tragedy in the offseason and, you know, big mental health situation with him and the whole bit. But the fans are kind of over it at this point, and they think they need to either sign a receiver next offseason, a veteran guy to be the opposite of Devontae Smith or what have you. But they're pretty over Reagor. We were hoping that he would be kind of Deebo Samuel-esque in the offense this year. But Steven believes that it is not yet time to give up on the young man. Steven, where are you at with Jalen Reagor, and does he still have a role in this offense?
So it couldn't be better timing for my dogs to bark like crazy right now. So maybe it's them trying to tell me I'm an idiot for this. But, like, look, I'm frustrated. I've been a fan or a stan of Reagor, I guess you want to – is that what we call it these days?
That's what Twitter would call it.
Yeah.
Look, I'm frustrated too, guys. Like, he's certainly – it's hard to defend him, but I really don't want to make this about anybody besides him. But when you look at the way the offense has been playing, like, they're winning games, and they're not throwing anywhere near as much. Like, it's almost cut in half. Like, Hurts, like you said, was throwing damn near 40 times a game. Now it's right around 20. Even guys like, you know, the young hero at one point, Quez Watkins, like, he's not even getting targets anymore. And, like, I think they're still trying to figure out how to use Reagor. Now, obviously, like, he needs to find a way to contribute when he does get the ball. I mean, there's no excuse to have, you know, four receptions for, like, negative yardage, I think it is now, or just, like, barely positive yardage over the last several weeks. But he's only getting, like, one target a game, and it's always these stupid, like, tunnel screens, as we had seen on Twitter last night. His father actually took to Twitter to complain about it. And you know what? I'm on his side a little bit. Am I frustrated? Yeah. But, like, he was producing for a little bit here. Obviously, it was inconsistent. They might have been the Detroit game right before he messed up his ankle. They were using him on jet sweeps in the run game. That was kind of a nice little dynamic they had. And then I believe it was a Sunday night game. I can't remember which opponent. He had over 100 yards in penalties drawn, as in pass interference calls. Like, there's a lot of talent there, you know? It's frustrating. He's still, believe it or not, he's the youngest receiver on the roster. I don't want to make excuses for him, but like you just can't give up on him. You used a first round pick. There's just too much talent there. You got to find a way to make it work. The team's winning, so you don't want to sacrifice too much. Like you can't be too worried about getting him involved, you know, when the offense is clearly clicking and they're winning football games. But, you know, at the same time, they're going to have to figure this out because teams are going to, you know, game plan to stop the run. So we're going to have to get the pass game going.
Yeah, they are going to certainly zone in on Hurts at some point. But if he, you know, even if the opponents know it's coming and they can't stop it, that just shows how dominant the team is. But we'd like to see Jalen Reagor kind of get it going moving forward. Like you said, Steven, not entirely his fault. They only really target him on screens and whatnot, don't really get him open. And when he is open on routes, Hurts kind of doesn't see him as he is starting to look at Devontae a lot more. So we get that, but we would like to see Reagor try and progress a little bit as he was taken with that first round selection, and Justin Jefferson is still obviously losing his mind.
Oh, just stop with that. You know,
I'm not comparing. I'm just
let's
saying.
Let's just mold it's wide receiver it's two, okay, happen. On the Philadelphia Eagles.
I don't care anymore. Yeah. People are going to do
we're
it.
We're above that. I thought we were above that.
I didn't compare him. I didn't. That's just where we are. That's just how it's going to go.
It's just facts.
It's literally just facts. Yes, exactly. So now you start to look ahead. You start to get a little bit excited. You know that we should just be enjoying the progression of Hurts and the growth and the resiliency and all that stuff. But you can't help to get a little excited when you start to look at the playoff picture. And believe it or not, the Eagles do have a chance to win the NFC East if it comes down to it. Now, the scenario is laid out. I ran through like every simulation yesterday in every which way possible. And the way that they could win the NFC East, now obviously things change as it goes down the road. But the way it stands as of right now, the Eagles would have to run the table, finish the season 6-0. And Dallas would have to lose at least two more games before that final week against the Eagles. So they play Arizona, the Saints, the Raiders, and a slew of NFC East opponents. If Dallas loses two more of those games and the Eagles went out from this point forward, that final matchup in Week 18 in Philadelphia against Dallas will be for the NFC East crown. They'll both finish with the same record, but the Eagles would own the tiebreaker in most scenarios. Wow. So, Jordan, how likely?
Dun, 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 dun.
How likely is it? Obviously, it's the Giants. It's the Jets. I think you got the Giants twice. You have Washington twice. Dallas, yes. And then the Jets, I believe. So those are your six teams. How likely is it that the Eagles run the table and potentially win this division if Dallas keeps spiraling?
I let's not talk about how likely it is. Let's just talk about how it genuinely should happen.
Let's talk about the parade. We could just talk about the parade.
Yeah, let's just go right to the Super Bowl. No, but realistically, I don't want to say it's super likely because obviously winning six games in a row or having our bye finally is going to help. Because
such a late bye this week, isn't it?
It's such a late bye. But I thought we were all going to be dead at this point. But luckily, we've made
it. Alcohol intake, at least.
Yeah, literally. But no, we've made it. So I want to say it's a chance. We can't look at it, I think, as a whole. I think we take it week by week and slowly just break it down. Because when you look at these teams on paper, we can easily beat Giants twice. We can easily beat the Jets. I think the team that makes me the most nervous right now is Washington. No Chase Young. They've just been starting to surge a little bit. But I'm not going to say it's likely. I'm just going to say it should happen, and I want it to happen because that Dallas game in Week 18 would be so freaking nutty.
I
don't
care
how
cold it is. I will be there.
And I will be there.
Oh, I would be there, yeah.
I promise you, Vic. This is what we're saving for.
We're saving it. Yeah, we saved it for Week 18 for the freaking playoff game, for the playoff clinching game.
Week 18, too. First time.
Doesn't
Week
18 sound weird, guys?
That would be insane.
It sounds so weird.
When is Ryan Fitzpatrick due back? Does anyone know?
I actually don't know.
You think they keep rolling with Heineke? I'm starting to think like, oh, it's about that time where Fitz is kind of, I think, and you know he always torches us. So that's something to keep in mind of also. But one other factor that goes to the Eagles is I don't think there's very long like road trips. Like, are they getting on a plane at all during this whole thing?
No, everything is so close. Wait, I just looked it up. Ryan Fitzpatrick is likely not coming back for this season.
Oh, it's Heineke. All right.
That was as of a week ago.
I mean, they did beat the Bucks, though, so yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But, yeah, no, we go to the farthest we go is Washington because we're in MetLife MetLife twice, then Giants come here once, and then we have to go to Washington for a game.
Dang, so no jet lag, no nothing. Eagle, I mean.
Nothing. I mean, and we have a bye.
And a bye.
This is in our favor.
Oh, man, I just need Dallas, man. They play Arizona. So if Arizona, we need to be Cardinals fans. Hopefully Kyler and all them are healthy.
You want to know what else is in our favor? Should have mentioned this earlier. Like, this is cold weather season football, and all of our games are basically on the east. Yeah, they are on the east coast here. So like, I don't know, man. The run game, cold weather. The passing game's not as efficient. Like,
guys,
this is the Eagles' DNA, man. Trench toss.
This is literally it, man. This is literally it. What are the Super Bowl odds? I think fellow contributor Luke showed us the odds the other night. I think it was like plus 13,000. I think it was for the Eagles to win the Super Bowl.
Oh my God, I'm putting $10 on it.
Might throw a little change on that thing. You guys are listening to, of course, my co-host, Steven. You can follow him on Twitter at Steven Conrad Jr. Read him on thelibertyline.com as well. Leader, creator, all that fun stuff of Liberty Line Radio on YouTube. Be sure to go subscribe to that channel, click the notifications, all that fun stuff. Steven, you have an article coming up, apparently, of Jalen Reagor. Is that right?
Yeah, basically, if you were still listening to that little rant I went on about him earlier, I'm just going to put it in the word form, you know, and I honestly don't care, like, the hate, because I know I'm going to get hate for it, but, like, the thing, guys, like, I don't know about you, as content creators, right, like, you're on social media, you see everybody pushing, like, one narrative, don't you kind of want to, and I agree with it, it's not me just doing it for the heck of it, like, I kind of want to provide something that's not being talked about, you know?
Right,
like, everybody's hating on him, so.
Yeah.
There you go. Don't have to agree with it.
My other co-host, Jordan Arard Coupe. Be sure to follow her TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, all at The Sporty Jordy. She has a million shows. Jordan, what you got lined up in the pipeline? I know you got a busy week ahead of you.
Definitely a busy week. I just started doing a podcast for my job. It's UDA Winner, UDDA, risk-free sports betting. So you can't ask for anything better than that. Excellent. And then I also have Fantasy Underdog that's going live. It's usually every Monday and Thursday, right before the games. But yeah, lots of fun stuff going on.
Be sure to also go to her YouTube channel at The Sporty Jordy. Subscribe to that. Click for notifications. All that fun stuff. Be sure to follow the Liberty Line for around-the-clock sports coverage on all five Philly sports. Follow the Philly Pod on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Odyssey, all that fun stuff. You get your shows. Rate 5 stars. Leave those reviews. I'm Victor Williams. Follow me on Twitter at the Philly Pod for everything. Eagles, of course, I talk, you know, about all the sports, but the Eagles coverage is predominant. And guys, do you want to cover the Philadelphia Stars at any point? The new team? No, nobody. You know what's wild?
Not until they drop the Phillies hashtag.
Yeah, and they stole.
They're not playing in Philly.
No, they all play in one. Apparently, all 8 teams play in one city, and they're like they're gonna branch out to their markets like the season after. So yeah, they broke, I guess. So that's how that's gonna go. Maybe we'll do Stars coverage. Appreciate y'all for listening to the show. Until the next one, y'all signing off from the Philly Pop.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.